Exodus chapter 20. Now, these are the commandments that God gave Israel through Moses. Because I talked about this yesterday, I'll just be quick in introducing it. He said in verse 1, then the Lord spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. Now, that's the time you see God saying, I am the Lord your God. You know, you need to understand this. It's always interesting because we are so used to seeing it, we don't realize that there's a reason why he has to say that. Think about it. Me and you have met a number of times. I still come to you and say, my name is Banky. I'm that Banky. I'm the Banky. Next time we'll come again and say, I'm the Banky. You know what it means? It's simple. You're always confusing other people with me. Do you get my point?
Yes.
I gave you my car to help me take to the car wash. You came and gave somebody else, and the car has gone since yesterday. I've not seen it. And I said, where's my car? He said, but I gave you when you came earlier. I said, me? How could I have come earlier? I was preaching the whole day. I just finished the preaching. I'm just coming. Ah, but the person was wearing this same clothes you're wearing now. So next day, I give you my computer to hold. You know, I will tell you, look at me well. Sometimes you see God saying, I'm the Lord your God. That's what happens. Israel often will forget. They'll be looking for a solution, they go somewhere else. So he has to call them back to order. I am the Lord your God. Do you understand? So he says to them, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, not Moses, not Aaron, not the golden calf you built. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of slavery. In verse 3, it now says, these are the commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. That is, apart from me, there will be no other god in your life. You must not have any other god but me. That's verse 3. We call that the first commandment. Next commandment, you know, actually, the first three commandments, like I said yesterday, they are one. It's just explanation of the commandments. Next commandment, he said, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in the heaven, what is in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. And who are those who hate him? Those who worship other gods. All right? But showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. That's the second commandment. First commandment, only one God. Second commandment, that one God, you are not allowed to make any image and bow before it in worship. Claiming that image, you made it in the image of God, the only God. The third commandment, if you read it in the Young's Literal Translation, let me just read it here, and then I'll quote the Young's Literal Translation. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished, who takes his name in vain. I was explaining this yesterday. Allow me again to just explain it a bit further. What this was saying, if you read this literally, in Young's Literal Translation, it says, that's verse what? 7. Yes. Thou dost not take up the name of Jehovah thy God for a vain thing. Now, that's how he said it literally. But we look at it, and this is my own understanding, we misinterpret that to say that you take the name of the Lord thy God, and that name, you call it vain. You use it in a vain fashion. What does that mean? Somebody kicks you in the leg by mistake. You say, Jesus. So what is that Jesus? You are using God's name to exclaim. So that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. That's a common teaching about it. But having read the scriptures and knowing the mind of God, the way it works, and the way he's revealed himself here and there, I said, no. I think we are misunderstanding that literal translation. Because sometimes, you see, the Bible was written in basically three languages: Old Testament, mostly Hebrew; New Testament, Greek. Okay? Now, what we often look at it this way, and so what happens a lot of times is that we are not able to read the mind of the language. So when we interpret it, We look for what is closest in our minds in English. And what we, when we see the word vain, we looked at vain speech. We look at the way you say something without meaning. But actually, what the Bible, this is my understanding of it, all right? This is what I understand after studying it. That the vain there, the vain thing was not referring to the name of God. It was referring to idols. That's why I said from the beginning, one, you must have no other God. There were other gods pretending to be gods all over the place. Different religions putting up their God and say, that's the only God. You understand? Muslims will tell you Allah is the only God. You understand what I'm saying? Christians say, nah lie. Okay? God said, listen, don't relate to any God. They had other gods, Molech, you know, Baal, Ashtoreth. They had all kinds of gods then. God said, I recognize no other God. I'm the only one. Now, this me that you know, don't make an image of me. Nobody has ever seen me. Nobody can draw what I look like. They can't carve me. It's an insult to my person. All right? You don't carve an animal and call it my name. All right? Then number two, that's the second commandment. Now, this one I was explaining yesterday. Let me just explain it again. So what is it? Because we're going to the promised land. That's why I'm giving them this. He said, when you get there, what will happen is that you will see beautiful temples. You will see beautiful images that have been built. You didn't build them. Do you understand? You believe in one God, like Moses instructing you now. But this God, you are so used to worshiping in temples. In Egypt, they had Ra. You understand? They had temples, magnificent temples in Egypt. You are going to go to the promised land where they have temples to Dagon. They have temples built. And listen, human beings, if you go to Saudi Arabia, go to Dubai, go to Kuwait today, when you see their mosques, in fact, one of our brothers traveled the other day, sent me pictures. He said, these people just play with money. You see, as if this building was built of gold. They will put gold leaves everywhere. Everything painted with gold, shining. It's not new. Men have been doing that for a long time. So God said, you will get into that land, and you will find things like that. You will see beautiful idols that they have made. This is a temptation of human beings. They want to retain the temple. You know, it's so beautiful. Why spoil it? It's so beautiful. Why waste it? So, but because, remember, they can't have any other God. You know what they will now do? They will now remove the name of that God, Ra. They remove it and carve a new name and say, Jehovah, the God of Israel. I don't know whether you're getting the point. We Christians, we did it with days. Days. We did it with days. What I say, days. For example, we have Easter. That's all we did with Easter. We have Christmas. That's all we did. They were pagan ceremonies. We didn't know how to do away with them. So we switched them and turned them to Christian festivals. They were never Christian festivals. That's why, of course, even those who do know Jesus was not born December 23rd, okay, that's the day we chose to. But because people were ready. Okay, you know, let me give an example now. Assuming you go to a Muslim country, you understand? You turn, they are Muslims. Everybody is doing, what do you call it? Salah. So the time of Eid al-Fitr, all right? Was it Kabir? Which one did they slaughter lambs? Anyway, one of them anyway. So they've been doing it for a long time. And every year is a big ceremony. And you converted them to Christianity by force. Not by evangelism. They still like their ceremony. So what they will now do is that, say, okay, this day is no longer ideal, whatever it is. You now say, is a day of crucifixion. It will now become ideal crucifixion. Now, you don't know when crucifixion occurred, but it just seemed good to you. So that day, they will still have a holiday. We Christians, we did it also. All right? But what God was warning that Israel should not do was not to go there and take another idol somebody else has made and use the name of God on it. So what he actually said, that you will not take the name of the Lord thy God and put it on a vain thing. So three commandments. Number one, you must have no other God. Number two, don't make image of the one God you have. Number three, if somebody has made the image, don't call that image by the name of your God. The idol is vain. Do you understand my point? Don't put the name of your God on it. You now say, so what has that got to do with true worship? I'll tell you. Remember, I started by saying that why God keeps on introducing himself is that many times we confuse who he really is. Do you get the logic here? So this is what happens. I now want to talk about the name of God. In fact, that's what I was planning to talk about, God's name. God has a name. And God has many names. You read your Bible, the names of the Lord, they are plenty. Like I said yesterday, it's not just to, you know, we used to learn 7 names of God. No, 12 names of God. Jehovah, no, Elohim, El Elyon, Shammah, Jireh, Sabaoth, Sikenu, Mekedishki. I love Mekedishki. We had all kinds of names. We crammed them. And we said these are the names of God. But now we understand scriptures. It's not really so. Those are some of his names expressed in Hebrew. Do you understand? For example, Jehovah Rohi is the Lord, my shepherd. Forget the Jehovah, forget the Rohi. Speak it in English. The Lord, my shepherd. Now, that's one name. He has other names. Some of my favorites, the Lord that delights in the prosperity of his servant is a name. Do you understand my point? I am the Lord that healed thee. That's what they call Jehovah Rapha. Is a name. Are you getting my point? King of Kings is a name. Lord of Lords is a name. So the Vipassan taught that 250 names were given to Jesus in the Bible. Amen is a name. Beginning is a name. End is a name. Author of faith is a name. Finisher of faith is a name. Are you getting my point here? Now, provider is a name. The Lord of destiny is a name. The Lord of the future of my children is a name. Provider for my years to come is a name. Do you get my point? Safety as I travel is a name. You get my point? Now, God now said, all of these my names, don't put it on a vain thing. Never. Provider is not a city. So it's not, if I go to Lagos, I will become rich. I don't know whether you're getting the interpretation. The reason why a young man can't make it that this occur, there's nothing moving. Nothing is moving. If he will just move to Abuja, wow, you will blow. You have just broken the third commandment. You have taken the name of God and placed it on Abuja. Especially when you have seen God use that method to bless somebody before. That's why in Israel, God deliberately used different kinds of methods. He would tell Joshua, gather all your soldiers, 30,000, go to Ai and go and fight. Then he would tell, what's the name of our guy? Gideon. Say, Gideon, there are too many. Okay, this was what Joshua used. I said, there are too many. What do they reduce their number? Okay, everybody who they fear. If you just married last week, go home. Ah, okay, thank you. My wife has been crying herself. Yep, she don't disappear. If all your children were crying when you were leaving home, go home. Someone will drop their weapons and go. If you just are afraid for no reason, you just woke up in the morning, fear they catch you. What you say? Go home. Everybody left. Ah, it remained a few thousands. So God said, Gideon said, well, this is okay. Lord, what do you think? Lord said, there are too many. Sir, we're not going for scouting. We are really going to fight. Yes, there are too many. So, what do we do? You know the rest of the story. Let them go and drink water. See how they do and all of that. And then, they remain how many? 300. 300. Ha. Now, the point in time, God had to give Gideon a dream, a manifestation to encourage his heart. He said, if you are afraid, go to the camp and go and hear what they are saying. So he sneaked into the camp of the Midianites and heard them talking. When he heard them talking, he was encouraged. 300 people. And he went to battle without weapons. They carried a torch and carried a jar. And they broke the jar. And God caused the armies of Midian to hear a rumor. And they all ran away. So the Bible says, it is nothing for the Lord to save with a few or to save with a multitude. With God is the same thing. And he does both so that men will fear before him and they will never look at the size of their army as a source of their strength. For a long time, I had wondered, I'm not saying I have the answer till now, I'm just still thinking. When David decided to number Israel, why was God angry? Because David was not the first to decide to number Israel. Moses numbered Israel. Have you forgotten that? When God told him to do it, everybody bring a shekel, you know, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. They have all kinds of things. But why was God angry that David numbered Israel? Even Joab knew something was wrong with it. And till now, I don't know what happened. I suspect that at that time, the kings were bragging about the size of their armies. Today, a few days ago, I stumbled into a website. I didn't click on it. What they're talking about, the 30 most powerful armies in the world. Of course, the largest army in the world will probably be the Chinese. Then India has a lot of population. They can also muster millions of people as, you know, soldiers. There are a lot of countries like that. So I just imagine that David too said, "Abba, Joab, where are we on that list?" Joab said, "No worries, sir." I said, "Where are we? Let's know how powerful our country is." Joab said, "God, there's no need. God is with us." David said, "What is wrong with your head? I have given the order." So they went and numbered. And God said, "Hey, is that the way you like it? All right, good. Let's settle this matter. I'll give you three options." You know these three options. But Israel was judged. And I wondered why for a long time. And the answer that I still have till now, I've not modified it till now, I've not seen any better understanding, is that David was looking at this army as a source of his strength. You know, when people are prospered, they start doing as if they are smoking something. When David had just a band of soldiers, God gave him tremendous victories. When he had nobody with him, apart from the sympathy of his wife, Micah, and her brother, Jonathan, the Lord gave him victory, delivered him from death. Now that he has been established, he now wants to count his army as a source of his strength. He was placing the name of God the Deliverer upon his army, and it provoked the wrath of the Almighty. You know how we break that every day? That's what we do. Why are you not making progress? You should remember the day we went to EDC. And one man turned to you and said, "Look at it. Is it my nephew or my niece?" What did he say that day? Was it nephew or niece? Nephew. He said, "My nephew that I helped to go abroad is not helping me." We helped him to go abroad. Look at it. He's remembering other people. He's not remembering me. That's why he's not paying his power bills. One day, a guy who works, he does some work for us in the office, we were talking. He said, that his brother, he was telling me that this business is very good, though. I should do this business. I said, "I'm not a businessman, leave him." He said, "Oh, guy, if you just do this like this, you make a lot of money." Now began to tell me the story of his brother, somewhere middle belt, how the guy has made money. He said, "But he refused to settle me. He refused to settle me. Essentially, that's why I'm still suffering like this. My brother has refused to settle me." I looked at him. "With all this, I've known you for years. You've been working. I've known that guy nothing less than 4 years or five. A working man. His work is very good. And he's still wondering why his brother has not settled him. He's not less than 40 years of age. He's still wondering why his brother has not settled him. And finally, he said, the problem is my brother's wife. His wife does not want him to remember the rest of us." Women, I don't suffer. When you don't know who to blame, they will blame the woman. His brother did not settle him, it's a woman's fault. I told him, I said, "My friend, better face," I told him, of course, that kind of thing, I told him the truth. "Better face your life and forget your brother. Do you know what he's going through, where he is?" What did he do? He took the name of God and placed it on his brother, a vain thing. That is what idolatry is. Idolatry does not necessarily mean I have to carve something and bow physically before it. When I bow before people to get their favor and disobey the principles of the Almighty in that process, it's idolatry. Let me tell you, common idolatry amongst young men. You tell the Americans you want to go and visit. You reach there, you don't come back because you believe that prosperity is in America. You are an idolater. Call your cousin that traveled with visiting visa, which expired after 1 month, and they have refused to come back. They are worshiping false gods. You never thought about it. Oh, people never thought about that. Why are you in America? You're not coming home. When you apply for the visa, what was it? visiting visa. You have been visiting for 3 years. You are lying, you know. You are lying. When you lie to gain something because you believe that favor comes from that place, is idolatry. You go to the American embassy. You know you cannot apply for an immigrant visa. They will not accept. So you say you are going for a conference. What conference? You paid for the, what the conference is? $300. You paid. You went for the conference. They finally granted you the visa. You plan to go for the conference. You told them they now granted you the visa. You know you are not going for the conference. Once you reach there, you will not come back. Why are you doing that? Listen, ever since my friend Philip traveled, he has made it. He sent a card to his father last year. He laid the foundation in his house this year. Prosperity is in America. Listen to me, people of God, it's called idolatry. It's idolatry. It's idolatry. Not from the east, this is the word of God. Not from the east, nor from the west. Not from the south comes exaltation. God is judge. He brings down one and lifts up another. That is his name. The one who lifts me up is his name. America doesn't lift me up. Canada will not lift me up. Australia will not lift me up. Lagos will not lift me up. Abuja will not lift me up. Nowhere will lift me up. It is God that lifts people up. When you lie to get an American visa, you get to their country and refuse to come back, you have broken the third commandment. Why? You assume that prosperity lies there. I see people steal money to buy tickets to go abroad. And you are criticizing those who are bowing before shrines. You are the number one idolater. Worshipping God in truth is to know his name and call him his proper name. Not carrying his glory and giving to another. I get to talk to people a lot of times. Say, if you just go to America, if you just go to Europe, by now you will have made it. I said to them, quoting Bishop Oyedepo, who was quoting Archbishop Benson Idahosa, say, lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. Incidentally, Jesus said, learn the lesson from the fig tree. The richest black man is not even living in America. The richest black woman is not even living in America. Both of these people live in Nigeria. Did you notice that? The richest black man lives in Nigeria. The richest black woman lives in Nigeria. Many people don't know. They say, eh? Who? You don't know? She lives in Nigeria. They are both Nigerians. I don't mean they bought land in Nigeria. I mean they are both Nigerians. The most influential black people don't even live in America. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. What were we trying to say? They said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They said, come and see. And that's the principle of Jesus Christ. When he indwells somebody, anything good can come out of anywhere. I hope you're getting my principle here. Listen. The third commandment is don't take the name of God and put it on a vain thing. Some young people have put the name of God on a vain course. They go to university, they must study medicine or engineering. And if it's engineering, it must be electronic engineering. Why? They're thinking of MTN all their lives. MTN. Airtel. Which other one is there? In fact, those are the two companies. I wonder about the two of them. Let's just leave it where we were. The Lord is good. But it's age of telecom. And they fix jam 4 times. Because God is telling them, you think that's where prosperity is? I always tell young people, the reason why you go to school is to be educated. It can be anything. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You are here now listening to me preach. On a beautiful Saturday morning like this, some of you have missed weddings to be here. You are going to fight when you get home, and you don't care. You heard that I was coming to preach. Did you ever check whether I had a degree in theology? You never checked. So I tell people all the time, I say, listen, you can be anything you want to be in this life. Education is first of all for being educated. Go and get an education. No cost. Listen. And that guy I know, somebody called me and said, called my friend. Said he's a frustrated doctor in America. He's been there for, at least the time I knew, he's been there for over 5-6 years. He's still driving a taxi. Nothing wrong with driving a taxi. It's a good profession. Are you getting my point? But he wasn't doing it because he loved it. It was, for him, it was out of frustration. Driving a taxi is beautiful. One of our brother wrote an article the other day of a man who drove him and had 11 cars. He didn't steal one of them. He got one car, but he used his ingenuity. You enter his taxi. When you hire him, by the time you come out of the hotel in the morning, he has bought a newspaper. As soon as he enter, oh, you have today's paper? Yes, sir. It's for you. You'll be reading while he drives you up and down, fully air-conditioned. He's a graduate. He drives his taxi with a graduate mind. And he did that until he bought 11, was it 9 cars? Either 9 or 11. 11. 11 cars. Nothing wrong with that. Otumba Gaddafi told us, shit business is good business. Remember him? Goes around evacuating people's septic tanks. The first day I saw this funeral home in Lagos. Oh, I've forgotten the name of that one now. Name one of, there are about 2 of them that are very prominent in Lagos. Anyway, I've forgotten the guy's name now. One of these big funeral homes, they organize funerals for people. When I saw the man leading the pallbearers, I'm like, what? This man is a multimillionaire. He was leading the pallbearers himself. One man, they say, there's no profession that guarantees anything. None. If I ask how many, all of you here, the course that I'm going to study in university, you actually don't know. Cement manufacturing, sugar selling, business management. You don't know. I met a man, oh God, incidentally, he's from this state. I went to his village for his daughter's wedding in December. He's a man of God. Interesting man. Blessed man of God. He told me something when they were talking. I asked him something. He said, man of God, you know, I told you that I didn't go to school. I finished in primary 6. He said, so I don't read so much. I rather listen to messages. That's how he talks to me when we're talking. Very interesting person, but very, very wealthy. When they were talking, he said, listen, he was just giving me the story of his life, when he gave his life to Christ. He said, I'm blessed. He said, God has been so good to me. He said, the only time I lost money in business in my life that I can remember was the year after I gave my life to Christ. Now, listen to this. That's why I'm talking about the story. He said, that year I lost 50 million naira. And listen. He said, I had 4 chartered accountants working for me that time. They couldn't trace the money. Now, that's the story about it. He said, I finished school in primary 6. The year I lost money, I had 4 chartered accountants working for me. That is what struck me. The man who said, I finished school in primary 6, I hired 4 chartered accountants. They were working for me full time. I paid their salaries. Many people say, I'm going abroad to get a master's in this. I say, when you come back, who do you apply to job for? It's not Dangote. Get your PhD in anything you like. When you apply for a job, ask for the name of the man who started the company. Now, I'm not saying education is bad. Did I say that? I mean, I'm well educated. I am saying that not one guarantees anything. There's no guarantee. So we don't take the name of God and place it there. That's why when my son wanted to write jam, he and I had a talk. He virtually had a clear ticket. I don't want to give details. One, I am on staff in College of Medicine of University of Nigeria. Apart from that, I happen to personally know the vice-chancellor. We're not very close, but at least he was my dean when I came to the school. Do you understand? He worked the same faculty. He was my provost for 4 years. Apart from that, our school they give priority to staff children. It's biblical. He that muzzles the, you don't muzzle the ox that's stretching out the new doctors. If I wonder, I went to my dean's office. He said, "You have the staff list, you have the staff form." I said, "No, my son is not applying for medicine." He was surprised. So here and I sat down, I asked him simply. And he's a brilliant chap. What do you want to do? You want to study medicine? I didn't try to persuade him one moment because you see, I had enough understanding that look, future doesn't lie there. That's not where the future is. Here and I just had a talk. We talked and said, go and pray about this. Go and pray about this. We talked. By the time, anything he came, if he had come back, anything he told me that time, I had my way of reasoning. If I had reasons for, okay, no, if you have to do this, you have to travel out of Enugu and all of that. We can talk on all of those things. But this one, the school was even going to be in my backyard. I was even going to be staffed there. But I said, no, just let's talk. One of us talking, he chose a different subject. Fine. Now, choose your subjects in JAMB and go and write. Why? There are people who are calling, help me. My son wants to study. My daughter. Look, listen, like I said, nothing wrong with it. Though. But just know that there is no guarantee of future anywhere. There is no... It's one of the reasons why God ensures that many of our politicians didn't even go to school. To let... Learn a lesson from the fig tree. You'll be there speaking English. Those who make the laws don't speak any of that English. And you will abide by those laws. It's divine. Daniel said he rules in the affairs of mankind and gives the kingdom over to whosoever he wishes and sets upon it, that's the point I'm getting to, the least qualified of men. It's scriptural. My message is on the third commandment. Don't take the name of God and place it on a vain thing. Discuss with your God what you really want in life. Lord, I want my future to be financially secure. It is simple. Get on your knees. Kneel there. Say, Lord, I pray that my future will be financially secure. In Jesus' name, amen. That's one of the names we called him earlier. He's the God of my destiny. That's why I like that story about Isaac. When he said when he said to Esau that he has sustained Jacob with grain and with new wine. And he didn't give him anything. But he prophesied over him. We don't take the name of God and place it on America. A lot of young boys and girls, that's what they do. Yesterday, I was reading in the news that in somewhere in Europe, is it Italy now or Spain? They cracked a major prostitution ring, of which Nigerians were the ones controlling it, and liberated a lot of young women who were trafficked. Because they knew that 95% of prostitutes in those countries are victims of trafficking. Now, please, the world paints its own picture. Once they have an agenda, they pursue it. But what I want to say to them is that even though 95% are victims of trafficking, do you understand? Most of those victims of trafficking actually connived. They knew what they were getting. Most of them. They will pretend like they don't, but you don't have any qualification, you don't have anything. They carry you to Europe. You say you follow. What do you want to go do? They say, I want to go do it. Nonsense. I'm not saying it justify trafficking. Please, get me right. It's good they cracked the ring. Most of them were cult boys. A year fraternity in Nigeria. They're the ones that control those rings, you know. The police liberated them last about 2 days ago. It's in the news now. But the truth is that why did women fall for that? They took the name of God and placed it on Europe. A young man came to me one day and said, I should pray that he wants to go for international trials in football. I said, me, I will open my mouth and pray such a foolish prayer. You know, there are things people ask, they don't know the way I reason. They don't come to me and ask me to pray about some nonsense things. I said, have you ever gone for... He said, he's a footballer. I said, have you ever gone for trial in Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium? He said, no. You've not gone to Abba? Go and meet Enyimba. To try for them? No. You want me to now use the anointing of God and God's word to pray that you will go to go for international trials abroad so that it's not only that's worrying you, Unyushi. Thief. You're looking for free money. Listen to me. If Enyimba will not take you, Julius Berger will not take you. Who are the people in Enugu? Rangers will not collect you. You are not good. I know. It's simple now. Is it a lie? Thank you. Rangers does not collect you. You are in Enugu there. Enyimba, they won't talk to you. You now want me to pray in the name of Jesus. Let me pray. Go to Kano. You understand my point? Kano pillars, maybe they will listen to you. But no, I told my friend, if not football, you won't play. Go to the stadium, way down the road. Because Enugu, we have a big stadium. They said, just go to Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium. Go and meet them there. If they won't take you, you are not good. Trust me, I didn't pray for him. That was the beginning of my prayer. God helped him to get to Nnamdi Azikiwe Stadium. My prayer never passed like that. It's because he took the name of God and placed it on Europe. And he's looking for a... That's how the people's money gets collected. I would assume that you are going to Europe. You will sow a seed of your 10% of your sign-up fee. The Lord... Apostle, you know, like you said one day, that's our money day ministry. We'll make money. We'll die early, but at least we'll make the money. When we finish twisting the name of God like that, we'll go die, but we will not make small money. Because people like that, they're easy to catch. You want to go to Europe? You will plant a seed. When your seed is in the ground, heavens will heat seed. And it will respond. Your seed has to be by faith. You will plant 10% of what you are believing God for your sign of fee to be. Hallelujah. I was in a bad the other day. I preached this gospel. A woman was waiting to... That is... And I give you two testimonies. Your father's land is going. You'll be blaming me for being a false preacher, but it's you that placed your eyes on a vain thing. You put the name of God on a vain thing. And that's what opened you up for that deception. I told the young man, prosperity is everywhere. God can bless you anywhere. You're not on earth to be looking for money. You're on earth to serve the purpose of God for your life. That's how we make decisions. Oh, let me add this, my favorite. Young woman, never open your eyes or heart and open your mouth, I should say, and make this statement, thereby placing the name of God on a vain man. I am looking for a man that will take care of me. It's sin. Tell any lady beside you, if she's single, say it is sin. It's sin. It's sin. You are not a project in life. Like I always say, life is hard enough. I'm not looking for who to take care of. I have other things to do. I can't be taking care of you. If you are not here to help me, go away. When God made Eve for Adam, he said, go and help him.
Yeah.
You know, he's not saying, go and look for somebody. If I have made Adam that he might take care of you, Adam will say, monkey is giving me a problem. Lion is giving me a problem. This girl, wherever you came from, don't come and add your own to it. But God said with Adam, you need help. Adam said, yes, I agree. He said, look for the help amongst the animals. He didn't find it. He said, there was none fitting for him. He said, now lie down here. And God now took a rib, closed the flesh in this place, and he made a woman for him. And when he brought her to Adam, he said, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. A woman she shall be called. Why did he receive her like that? He said, this is help that God has sent to me, not the next liability. So I tell women, your job in life is not to marry a man that will take care of you. You marry a man who together you will do the will of God for your lives. If you don't have faith in what a man is saying or how he's behaving, please don't marry him. You will be crying every day. Why you should marry a man is that you listen to him talk. He ignites the visions of God in you. It might be rough at the beginning, but you know, he has spoken, you've heard him talk, and you know that, we'll go somewhere together. It might be rough. Oh, it might be rough. Like I always say, I like him a lot. But you see, the problem is that he has a lot of responsibilities. Somebody say foolish talk. Any man that has a lot of responsibilities is a responsible man. Please, it's when you marry an irresponsible man, you will know what they call pain in life. Having responsibility is a good thing. Say he has 13 younger ones, they will grow. I happen to marry a woman that came from a family where her father had 39 younger ones. Is it 39? Yes, 39 younger ones. 39. It'd be like the lashes on the back of Paul. I always tell women, listen, it's an honorable thing. You know, they say if you want to get things done, give it to a busy man. Have you heard that thing before? Yeah. If you want to get things done, give it to a busy man. That if you want to see a man that will prosper in life, check the man that's taking many responsibilities today. Yes, that's the way it is. He's the one that's already used to producing. You see one that anytime he wants to make a decision, he calls his father. He needs money, he calls his mother. He needs something, he calls. Just not say, wahala, there your front. He used a card that his father bought to come and impress you. And you think, God has blessed me in this life. He hasn't blessed you. He has given you more troubles to solve. You will still marry him or you will still solve him as a trouble, but don't even think you are lucky compared to the man who can only manage one old, breaking down frequently, 1928 Corolla. Okay, there was no Corolla in 1928. Let's just say 1975 Corolla. You know, they push on together. Don't worry. It's just for 10 years. Yeah, 10 years is not a long time. I've been married for almost 20 years. Can you believe that? Yes. I married in December 99. Married for a while. So I used to think 10 years was long. But 10 years is not long. 10 years is not long. Someone I said that you will struggle for 10 years. Don't feel like, The only thing that you know how, you won't go to Dubai. But you will go to Oka. You will go to Onitsha. Aba day there. Obudu day there. Lagos day. Abuja day. You can even reach Meduguri if you like it. Meduguri is not bad. It just is Dubai. And when you get to Dubai, there's nothing there. Nothing. There's nothing you cannot see on television. It's true. I don't know how women will make serious decisions on stupid things. There's a woman I met. Met her and her husband. I knew them. To shop for the wedding, they go Europe. After the wedding, they flew over to Europe again, or Middle East, from there, connected to the U.S. Hallelujah. That's honeymoon. And then they were in the U.S. for some time. And it was time to go back home. He just told her, please go back home. I will join you. I have things to finish here. I will join you in about maybe 2 weeks, a month or something. See that one that she went home? It's the last time they lived together. All the shopping abroad, honeymoon in Dubai, blah, 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 blah. 1 month after the wedding, it was over. Fight, quarrel, on the phone. Fight. The man appeared. By the time he arrived, his wife was not at home. She has gone to her parents' place. You cannot, look, you can't sell your marriage because of a wedding. Are you getting my point? Listen, you can't place the name of God on a man. If you're a woman, you're not married, and you want to be comfortable in life, it's now you settle it in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me in this life. Let me not suffer like my mother. If that's what your problem is, when you have prayed that prayer, say, Jesus, I will now walk with you. If you say, I will never marry, if you bring me a good husband, I will love you. But I'm asking you for a good husband. Together we will serve you. Most good husbands are not good when they come. They are broke when they come. Valentine's Day, they think it's July 16th. You have reminded him of your birthday 3 times. He has not remembered. And there are two reasons why he doesn't remember. One, he normally forgets. He has never celebrated his birthday all his life. So your birthday is difficult for him to understand it is important. And then number two, the flesh has a way of controlling the mind. When the flesh knows that he's broke, why will he remember? How can he be remembering things that will put you in trouble? And as a happy birthday and you hang up, you are dead. So the flesh puts everything together and says, we will not remember her. So those are the two reasons he forgets. So it is that he's not used to it and he's broke. Doesn't mean he's not a good husband. It just means right now his beginning is small. But believe me, his latter end shall greatly increase. Hallelujah. I always tell the story of when I proposed to my wife. I took one of my lady friends, or my colleagues, to follow me to the market. We went to buy an engagement ring for 300 naira. The 300 naira ring that time, even if it costs today, it's 1.5. The ring today, you won't get it for more. 1.5 maximum. You buy it expensive. If you buy it cheap, nowhere to go in Lagos Island, you will get it for 950, I can assure you. That was what I bought and gave to my wife. Will you marry me? She first didn't collect it, but before the day was over, she has collected it. That was some time ago, I told you. That was married in, this was December 98, married the following year, December. That was what I could afford. I wasn't trying to be prudent. That was all I had. But one day I just said, ah. Of course, when we were at my wedding, we bought decent rings. But one day, just to wipe out the memory of that 300 naira, I just went, bought two solid gold rings, solid, heavy, for 50,000 naira of 10 years ago. More than 10 years ago. Yeah, it's about 14 years ago. Baby, it's your birthday, right? Yes. Just one of my students, a mother deals in gold, went to their house, brought me. I chose the two heaviest ones there. Gave the woman a check. To my wife, wait to wipe out the memory of 300 naira. wipe out the memory of 300 naira. Are you getting my point? Joy and fulfillment, prosperity does not come from the husband, it comes from God. You don't place the name of God and put it on a vain man. Human beings are vain. Cursed is the one who trusts in flesh. I hope you're getting my point. So you see, we're talking about God's name. We're talking about worshiping God in truth. It's not just about raising hands to worship. It's calling him his proper name in every situation. And read your scriptures, he has a name he bears in every situation. He has a name he bears in every situation. When it comes to prosperity, America is not God. Europe is not God. UK is not God. South Africa is not God. You want prosperity, you kneel down. That's what worship is. People, you know, sometimes, you know, I have brethren, in fact, there's one of them. When he talks about, when he writes sermons, you're blessed. When he talks about countries, you are confused. You talk about God is faithful, God is faithful, God is faithful. Then you tell those in Nigeria that, that country is unstable. You better go come to a country that is stable. Then you write next that God is faithful, God is faithful. It's called double-mindedness. It's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. God is not a British citizen. I hope you know that. He's not. He's not a Nigerian either. I'm not going to say he's a Nigerian. He's not an American. He's just God. So when we attach ourselves to him, he can bring prosperity to us anywhere. That is true worship, to recognize who God is. So when I'm making decisions, like Pastor Kimute was saying earlier, it's even in when I make decisions that I worship. Not because I say, oh, this decision is unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Decision. Hey, bro, blah, 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 blah. That's not what we mean. What we mean is when we are making decisions, do we go to the left or go to the right? So the land is green on the left. It's not that it's green on the right. He said, but no, our God is with us. Wherever we go, he will follow us with the blessing. Did he not say, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream? He's the God of prosperity. He's the one that delights in the prosperity of his servant. So that's not an issue. Where do we go? Let's look for other parameters. So in the right, they need us more. We hear that students there don't pass, what they call it, WAEC. SSC, they fail a lot. Why? They don't have science teachers. but they don't pay as well, though. You know, these Kogi people. They don't pay, but they need us. Let's go. Let's give them 2 years. Then we'll go there in 2 years. We'll know we have one assignment to make young people love physics, mathematics, chemistry, and biology. So day and night, we are laboring on that. That is what they call worship. That is, I've given God his proper name when I was moving to Kogi. It was God's name I called. When they say, "Will anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," that's what it means. Most of you here know me enough to know where I come from, naturally speaking. Born and bred in Ondo State. Went to school in Edo State. Then it was Bendel. Did my youth service in Taraba State. Then moved over to Lagos State. When it was now time to make my decision for the first time in life, all these other decisions were made for me. When I was born, nobody asked me, "Where will go born you? You like Nigeria or America? Should we try Australia?" I just cried one day, "Wah!" And I opened my eye. I did a walk. That is what happened. From over, they carried me to Ikare. And so I go to school, do. One day they say, "Fill jam form." I filled UI. I mean, I'm from the West. UI is just closer. You either go to Ife, Ilorin, or Ibadan. Ibadan number one, Ife number two, Ilorin number three. And if those three don't work, you now try UNILAG. If your father is strong enough, because in our mind we feel that Lagos is another place. So I filled my jam form. My parents went to submit. Before they submitted, they saw my cousin. "Hey, how is this guy?" "Oh, he's fine. He's doing the right jump. Where is he choosing?" "UI." No. "Why should he go to UI? UI is far now. Let him go to University of Benin." Long story. Make a long story short. They brought my form back. We started counseling and changing to University of Benin. That was how God sent me to UniBen. It was the last minute. That is, we have finished. They have put the form back in the envelope to go and return it. Was when they stumbled into one of my cousins, who was a final year medical student in Benin. I said, "Why should he go to UI? When UniBen is next door?" And really, from our hometown to Benin is 1 hour's drive, 1 hour, 15 minutes to UniBen gate. Ibadan was 3 hours. So my parents said, "This makes a lot of sense." I didn't get in that year. But when I needed to fill my jam form again, they said, "No, UniBen." We had been there once that time. So they write UniBen. That's how I got to UniBen. They didn't plan it. Do I need to tell you NYC didn't ask my opinion? Not now that you can give options. Those days, you just walk out, go there. Taraba, Omo. I reach house. My mother said, "Waiting." I said, "Taraba." I said, "Kilonjebe." That is, what is so called? After NYC, to even go to Lagos was not my decision. I stayed with Nigeria Army. They didn't pay me my money. So somebody said, "Go to defense headquarters." So I went to HQ in Lagos to go and pursue my Call duty allowance, which I never got. That's how I arrived in Lagos. The first time I had to make my choice was this one. I came to Enugu. First time in life that I deliberately had to make a choice. That was when the question will now arise. Prosperity, where is it? People said, if you just go abroad. Before then, I had read Isaiah 66 verse 12 as a special message from the Lord. It jumped out of the pages of the book into my face. It said, "Behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream." So I said, whether I go abroad, whether I stay in Nigeria, it's irrelevant. Prosperity is where God says I should be. They said, the money is in Lagos. I said, God said, wherever I go, it will come there. After all, it's not even money we are looking for. I believed, and I still do, and I'm operating it now, at least to some level, that I have a call from God. It's where we'll execute it we are looking for. And that doctor I told you about earlier, remember that story? He said, "Why don't you consider coming to Enugu?" I didn't know him. I didn't take him seriously. Then many of you may know the Venerable Professor Sam Ike in Enugu. He came to congratulate me. "Oh, I heard you got married and all of that. Come to Enugu now. We need people like you over there." My friend who lives in the U.S. now said, "Banky, think about it. Enugu is good." And then one day I met one brother. We just gisted. Without him knowing what I was considering, he said, "Enugu is a beautiful place." I did not tell him. I had not seen him in more than 5 years. He didn't even know anything about my life. We just met outside in front of RMO 3 in Luth. I took his word as a confirmation from God. I sent off my letter to Professor, that's not Professor Ike, not Sam Ike, his boss. And one day, I got a message from him, come and pick your appointment letter, it's ready. First time I went to Enugu in my life was a few years before that as a student. This was my second time to go and pick my appointment letter at UNN. Well, this is what I'm talking about. People said all kinds of things. Prosperity, I said, it's wherever God places me, it will come there. I refuse to take the name of God and place it on a vain place. Stay amongst my people. I say, who are your people? Who are my people? Those who hear the word of God and do them. The same is my people. You get my point. I'm not a tribal person. I don't believe in tribe. It's ungodly. It's unchristian. It's very unchristian. It's very, very unchristian. Very unchristian. I like where I live. I'm happy there. God has surrounded me with good people there. From everywhere. Are you getting my point? The name of God, we must not place it on a vein. That's worship. So it's when we are making those decisions. That's what I'm talking about. When we are making those decisions, that is when we know whether we are worshiping or we are not worshiping. It's not when we raise our hands. Somebody is going to make a decision concerning marriage in the next few weeks. That's when you know whether you are worshiping or you are not worshiping. That's when you know whether you are worshiping. Listen, worshiping God is as our hearts have been transformed into thinking like Jesus does. That's what true worship is. I think I've spoken enough for this morning. Before it becomes this afternoon. Let's bow down our heads to pray. Afterwards, I'll be taking the questions that I said you can please ask. Apostle, come. Let's bow down our heads to pray. Let's thank God.